We have with us David Tennant, ladies and gentlemen. Could not be happier to have me here. David, lovely to see you. Good morning.
It's lovely to be here.
How are you feeling? You well?
I just put headphones on. There's nothing coming through.
No, but you look good for a second.
I love the headphones thing.
Look like an older version of yourself seen on the cover of this DVD,
yeah,
taken
indeed.
Over the asylum.
Nice segue, Jonathan.
Look at you there, where he plays a nutty person who works in a radio station.
A manic depressive.
That's what I was looking for.
Involved with a hospital radio station.
Exactly. So much nicer the way you. I'm thinking more like of the streets there, really. And look at young David.
Yes.
Look at young David there with
his
hair.
Look at the youthfulness. Look at that. Look at these slightly auburn locks.
Well, no, was that dyed that colour?
No, that was just how it came out of my head.
So your hair was kind of a mousy blondy brown then.
Yeah.
And now it's a dark. Is it dyed now?
No.
I think it's dyed a bit now.
I think I've just got darker.
You've matured.
I've matured.
That's what it is. You've grown into yourself.
I have.
And we've probably got a window of opportunity now for like a 2 years being like this, and then you'll go silver. any grey hairs at all yet, David?
I have none. Okay. But my brother's going a bit salt and pepper now.
And how old is he now?
He's 6 years older than me, so I guess.
Well, you might be okay. Nothing wrong with it.
I mean, he's not like, you know, he's not. He looks very distinguished.
He doesn't look like David Gower. He doesn't look like an old lady.
David Gower's the cricket man, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. Oh, no. No, just the odd fleck. You know, the very distinguished fleck.
That's not a fleck. Is nice. You're very flecky.
I've got a fleck, yeah. I'm heading Schofield land. I'm heading for it.
But do you dye the top bit?
No.
No, he's quite salt and pepper, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah. My brother's not quite that far gone, yeah.
But because of your darker complect, if I may be so bold, you look a little bit like a sort of plump George Hamilton.
George Hamilton, the man who does the grills. Oh no, that's George Forbes.
That's George Forbes. Yeah. Well, by saying he was dark, I didn't quite mean he was of African American descent.
No.
Let's move on. And hey, David. So before we talk about Taking Over the Sun, which I haven't seen before, when was this on BBC?
15 years ago.
Well, that's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah. But it won the BAFTA. It was a big deal at the time.
I bet it was. And it kind of
huge deal for me. It was the first big telly job I'd done.
But look, you there. That's quite an outfit they have you on in the back of it there.
Well, I was a manic depressive.
Yeah, but even so.
When you're on a manic roll, you like to wear colourful clothes.
Did you choose the clothes yourself?
To be honest, that's from a scene where we were doing like a road show.
A charity type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you look a bit like the character from The Far Show, who's the office nuisance. You know, he turns
Colin
in with a bow tie. Yeah, exactly. And so this was 15
years ago,
your first big...
first big telly, yeah.
What had you done before that? Had you done many other... You done a lot of theatre?
Done a lot of theatre. Well, a lot. I mean, I'd only been out of drama school a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, but so I forget. How old are you now and how old were you then?
I'm 37 now.
So you were 22 then.
When we shot that.
Just a baby then, really.
Yeah. Playing 19.
22 years old. And
look at that youthful face.
Did you get offered small parts did you take everything that came your way or were you choosy about, were you waiting for a bigger part? I mean, how does it work at the early stages of your career?
You're just happy to keep working, really.
So anything that comes your way,
really? Yeah, and I'd done a tiny part with the director of this, David Blair, who now does all sorts of posh telly things. And I'd done a tiny part for him on Strathblair. Remember Strathblair?
I'm pleased to say no. What was Strathblair?
Strathblair was a kind of... It was in the kind of Hamish Macbeth slot on
So it was a kind of like a light... it was an investigative thing, but no one really got hurt.
Except there weren't even any detectives in it. It was a young couple crofting... around about wartime.
Well, how did I miss that? It sounds great.
It managed two series.
Two series of Strathblair. And what part did you have in Strathblair?
I was Hiker 2.
Hiker 2.
I had four lines. And I
if ever you have children, you must name one of them Hiker 2 in memory of that. Sounds vaguely Japanese, doesn't it?
It does a little bit.
Hiker 2. And can you remember what the lines were?
Do you know, I can't. But we camped in a field and I broke a milk bottle or something. And a sheep cut its foot or something like that.
Oh, so you were an irresponsible camper.
I was an irresponsible camper. That's exactly what I was. Yeah, it was high drama.
Yeah, irresponsible camper. Sheep hurts its foot. Did you show any degree
of
repentance?
Remember Andrew Keir? Brilliant old actor.
I don't know. I know the name, but I can't place his face.
You'll have seen him in things like Quatermass movies. And
okay. Oh, I know. I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Tall, very kind of imperious, kind of. And he was the farmer who kind of came and railed at us.
And did you show remorse? Or were you sorry about cutting the sheep's foot? Or were you sloppy kids?
To be honest, there wasn't even enough to... There wasn't a lot of character to go on. I think it was literally
Did you try and give it a bit more than was required, as extras sometimes do when they're in a... I remember many years ago, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, my mum had done a bit of extra of something, and she was in... She was meant to be in a waiting room at a hospital. And the director said, "Now, everyone here, you're all irate. Just kind of act irate. You've been here for a long while. You've been waiting for a long while." And the camera went, she went, "I've been waiting for bloody hours." She went, no, I'm sorry. It's not a speaking part. I'm sorry. It's not a... And she was furious.
Yeah.
She's been waiting for so long.
I was slightly more than an extra, but only just.
Did you do any extra work?
No, I never did.
Yeah, because that's the curse, and if you do extra work, it's very hard then to leap into actual acting, isn't it, to get sort of proper parts, I believe.
I think it can be, yeah. I don't think it's not the traditional route.
Yeah, yeah, it's tougher for people to do that way. Yeah. Now, of course, there will be no problem getting work, I imagine, because Who's put you so firmly on the map? But even before Who, of course, you know, with Casanova and the many other shows you know on TV, you were someone people came to for work, and that must have been a nice situation to be in, I guess.
Well, it changes, you know. I mean, I've never had a long time out of work, which is very, you know, which I'm very grateful for. And very, I mean, there's as much luck as judgment there, really.
Yeah.
But it changes the sort of the things that you're suddenly find yourself in line for.
In the periods when you have been in work, have you done the usual stuff? Have you done the waiting in restaurants or bar work, or how have you made
anything? I did a little bit of that. Yeah, I did a little bit of waitering, and I did a little bit of. I delivered flowers for Interflora briefly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how do you deliver? You're in a car or on
you're
a bike?
In a car with a cab driver or whoever they've...
You don't make the bouquet yourself?
No.
That's a skilled and qualified role.
That is a skilled and qualified role. No, I just was in a car with somebody who would drive you around, and you'd get out and present people with bouquets of flowers.
Not a hard job. Did you have to sing ever when you gave it, or did you have to deliver a message?
No. To be honest, I think I was still a sulky teenager at the time, so I was just going to go, some flowers here.
Flowers.
Never mind the dead ones. Were you proud of the flowers that you delivered? Were they good? It was a good bouquet always?
I think it was. I don't really remember.
Because sometimes you get one that's a bit half... You know,
I only did the busy days of the year when they were short-staffed, Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. And things
you
like
were
that.
A fair-weather flower deliverer then, really.
I wasn't committed to it as a career.
It was never going to go anywhere for
no,
you.
It wasn't.
Do you keep in touch with any of your old Interflora buddies? Well, you might. I don't know, you might have made some lasting friendships.
Yeah. No, I don't. I was marvelling at your Scottish accent on the way in.
Was it pretty good? You're a monkey.
It was... It was like I was listening to a member of my own family.
You're a monkey, David.
That's very
stop
very
that,
good.
Doctor Who.
Slightly Eastern European as well.
Because I was trapped.
Nice.
He was a very lovely little boy, though. He was a cheeky little fellow, very confident.
He just came into your room.
Just walked into the compartment on the train. It wasn't a sort of, you know, we were quite pleased to have him there. Just laid in us all, calling us all monkeys.
Right. What age was he?
Dissing his mother. He was about four. Telling you he'd fall in love with someone instantly. Telling us off for something else.
Right.
There's a lot of, I don't know what he's going to do. He probably won't wind up running the country.
Well.
Well, who'd want a Scot in charge, though?
Steady on, come on.
Okay, so taking over the assignments out, do you like looking back at early work? Do you like looking at yourself in the helmet, or do you find your performances a little raw?
It's a little raw. It is a little raw. But I never really... I mean, this is 15 years ago, so, and I still think of myself as 18. So imagining that I was even alive 15 years ago is slightly hard to come to terms with. But certainly when you look at yourself moving and talking and...
In 1993.
And when you look at yourself every day, you're not aware of the ageing process, are you?
No.
And then suddenly you
that's the terrible thing about being in the public eye, though. Of course, there's a record of you growing up and so there. Yeah. But you're still a young-looking man, so that's a nice thing. You haven't yet
succumbed
to age, and so therefore people aren't looking and thinking, my God, you just look like a youngster.
But a callow youth.
Yeah, you look callow, that's what it is.
But we did a DVD commentary for it, and it's so odd. You just sit in this booth going, what did I look like? What was I doing?
Well, what the hair there is quite something.
Yeah, it's the longest hair I think I've ever had. You know, it's got quite a lot of bounce to it.
Who's that fellow there? It looks like David Walliams.
That's Angus McFadden.
Okay, it looks like, you know, the computer says no woman. David Walliams does in Little Britain. It looks just like that.
He's a very good-looking boy, Angus.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Just not a great photograph of him.
He was in Braveheart. Just after we did this, he went on and played William Wallace.
Are you watching the Nancy show, by the way? The Nancy...
I haven't caught so much of it this year, because I watched it religiously last year.
This was the Josephs,
of course. The Joseph one, yeah.
Have you ever done musical theatre yourself?
Not since drama school.
And what did you do back then?
At drama school, we did a Melvin Bragg musical called The Hired Man.
Hang on.
He wrote the book.
Howard
Guzel wrote the tunes.
What was that? That's a challenge to set you, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, it's rather good.
Was it? Which one was it? Was it the one about the old man with the young lady? That one that was on TV?
No. It's about... I think it was written about his granddad or something. It's about farmers in Cumbria. It's sounding great, isn't it?
What kind of a song? What's the music? Did they put to
it was... Hear us coming, oh running, oh drumming up, our strength hiking, all a bit lame, exciting, oh fighting over... Da, 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 da,
Melvin must have been
like
made up when he heard someone was actually going to put it on, though.
It's been in the West End.
No. What was it called again?
The Hired Man.
The Hired...
To be a hired man. Oh, to be a hired man.
Were you the hired man?
I was various parts.
Various parts. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But you learned the big part just in case. Just in case the hired man had a crofting accident one night backstage. Oh, well, that sounds like unmissable, almost.
Do you know, it was rather good.
Yeah. Audiences left in tears. I'm not saying why.
But now, of course, you're now heading off to Stratford to get ready for a long one up there.
I start on Monday, yeah.
How many Shakespeare's are you doing?
Two plays. I'm doing Hamlet and then I'm doing Love's Labour's Lost.
Wow. So Hamlet, of course, being the one. And you are playing Hamlet, I'm sure.
I am playing Hamlet.
Who's got the plum role of Polonius?
Polonius is Oliver Ford Davis.
I'd like to be Polonius. I can hide behind a curtain with the best of them.
Yeah.
It's not a big part, is it?
Listen, if all of us want a couple of nights off, I'll let them know you're available.
Give me a call. I've got my own tabard. Is it a period Hamlet or is it one of these modern ones?
I think it's going to be modern day without being all mobile phones about it.
So it'll be just modern dress, but it won't be.
Yeah, we're not going to be faxing each other and things like that. Faxing. When did anyone last fax?
That's not even modern, is it?
No. You were setting it in the 80s.
Make it modern. Come on in a Sinclair C5. All right? and add a few lines about Velcro, a few knowing references.
Yeah.
Well, this is the big challenge for a young actor, I guess. I'm sure you don't want to.
Yeah, it's just a play.
Yeah, that's the approach you're having as you go in there.
That's how I'm trying to cope with it at the moment.
It's a career-defining performance.
Yeah, it's just a play. It's just a play like any other.
It's a bit like when someone gets to take over Bond, of course. Everyone's wondering how they're going to do the line, my name is Bond, James Bond.
Yeah.
Of course, in Hamlet, they're wondering how they're going to do the to be or not to be.
Cut it. I say cut it.
I bet you're not even going to think about it until it comes up on the night, are you? You're not going to worry about it too much.
Just learn the lines and tone up. That's all I ever do.
Who is your... who's the one who goes nuts in there? What's her name again?
Ophelia.
Ophelia. Who's your Ophelia?
Actor called Mariah Gale.
Okay, and have you rehearsed with her yet?
Or no, we start rehearsals on Monday.
You haven't even started yet? Wow.
No, I haven't started yet.
Here's a text that all actors know, I guess. All actors who've come up the usual conventional routes know it pretty thoroughly already, don't they? They've mastered some of the speeches, they know the structure of the play.
I've done a couple of speeches I used to do one for an audition when I first left drama school. But no, I don't know it all. You know, and we've cut it a bit, so, you know, it'll be a slightly...
And are you allowed to do that? They don't mind you doing that? They don't mind you cutting some of Shakespeare's text?
Ah, come on. It's a living, breathing playwright.
Except for
the fact that he died 400 years ago.
So which chunks have they taken out?
I think it's quite subtly done. I don't know that you'll... Unless you're a real scorer, but I don't think you'll notice the cut.
So there's a little bit of
extra... But it means, you know, it's not 4.5 hours long.
There's a lot of it. Yeah, that's the problem. I want to see King Lear, and I'll be honest with you, it's rubbish, that play. It really is. It is, though, isn't it? It is.
You can't say that.
You can say that.
You can't say that.
Have you seen it?
King Lear's a great...
It's got some good ideas.
I was in it.
Look, if that was a movie, there's no way it would be made the way it is now. Because you've got that beginning scene where the daughters are asked to sort of show their allegiance to him, okay? And it all happens so quickly. And that's a crucial scene. And he says, you, the number three, come forward. What do you love? How do you love me? And I love you not, father. I love thee not. How dare you ask me to say I love you in front of her? And then it's all over. And you think, is that it? Has that set it all up? She's been exiled for that.
But that's because he's losing his mind, you know?
Yeah, it's rubbish.
I don't think you can say King Lear's rubbish.
Look, you know,
you might say it's not to your taste.
It's not any good.
But
it's badly written. It's poorly written.
There's quite a lot of evidence to the contrary.
No, they're all wrong. And anyone who's seen it would agree with me. And you know it deep down inside, Tennant.
I was in King Lear. I loved it.
Interesting to see he's not doing Lear. He's doing Hamlet. Mm-hmm. I think that shores me up
a bit. I might not be 22 anymore, but I don't think I'm quite in King Lear status yet.
You could play one of the daughters. Give you back that floppy haircut you had 15 years ago. Right, you just need a few trims, the one I saw. I think that's what it was. Also, Ian McKellen got his todger out again, and that always is upsetting, isn't it?
I haven't seen...
You haven't seen Ian McKellen?
Serena's Todger.
You haven't seen it?
No.
You've never seen him live then? Because I think he slips in almost every part he gets. A friend of mine saw him in a Noddy touring production. He got it out there. Well, the big ears they were talking about. All right. So, David, so you're up... and this is a big chunk of the year. How long do you commit to...
It's the rest of the year, really.
I'll be through until Christmas.
This. Yeah. Well, I think we come to London with it, sort of December time. Yeah.
Is Love, Labour's Lost the one where they exit all followed by a bear at the end?
No, that's Winter's Tale. Love, Labour's Lost is it's four blokes who decide they're never going to fall in love. They're going to study instead.
I think I've seen Kenneth Branagh production of this.
Yes, yeah. And then four hot chicks turn up. And
that's a nice fun story. That's one for the teenagers.
I guess so, yeah. So Hamlet, though. Hamlet's full of teenage angst.
But
obviously with my youthful complexion, I'll be playing him as an 18-year-old.
Who are the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern in your play as well? Because that can be a fun part of the play, can't it?
It can. But as we haven't started rehearsals yet, I'm afraid I'm not up to speed with everyone.
We'll find out.
I think someone called Sam is playing Guildenstern. And oh, I hope my new best friends that I'll be meeting on Monday aren't listening to this, because I haven't memorised everyone's name yet.
Of course you wouldn't. Why would you have done that yet? Do you know who understudies you for Hamlet? If there's a
I don't know who's got that,
because that's the one you got to watch out for, isn't it? don't take any drinks from him. You know, there'll be a bit of eye drop in there, and you'll be running off stage afterwards. You know, you got to watch out because they're looking for the big chance.
Well, the good thing with the RIC these days is that they have a proper public goal where all the understudies get out, because it's a thankless task, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit.
But the great thing that Michael Boyd, who runs the RIC, has introduced now is that every understudy will get a public showing of at least, you know, at least once.
And do the audience know in advance? Because obviously...
It's sold as an understudy.
Oh, good. That's a nice thing, because then people are happy to see the play and they're not going to be crushed with disappointment when they sit down their seats and go, and tonight the part of Hamlet we pick up. Oh, come on. Nothing worse than turning up theatre and seeing the sign outside. Tonight the part... You know, not that big
part.
Yeah, but
once you get into it, you forget that, don't you? You just follow the story.
No.
Don't you?
No, you know it's not true. They're coming to see you, David.
Oh, they don't come to see me. Come see the play.
They're coming to see you, though.
Come see the play. It's a company presenting a beautiful play.
If it gets boring, will you mention, do a little Doctor Who reference just to spark, you know what I mean? Spark it up a bit.
Russell T Davis keeps encouraging me to come out of TARDIS at the start. He said, come on, just blow it. Just come out of TARDIS, wear the suit.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? And it's when the dad turns up as a ghost, Cyberman. On the right, it's
the dad turning up as the ghost is Patrick Stewart, so we're kind of crossing.
Ooh. Hang on, Patrick Stewart. Now I do want to see it.
Mm. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I'm in it, you're not interested.
No, who's or why, but Trek, that's where it's at.
You're listening to the Jonathan Ross podcast from BBC Radio 2.
Taking over the asylum is the BBC DVD out now, featuring the great Ken Stott, the wonderful David Tennant, many other fine actors, and it's out on the 9th of this coming month. Is it the 9th of June?
Yes, 9th of June.
So you can get it. I didn't know it was a whole series. I thought it was like a one-off.
Yeah, 6 episodes.
Wow, so it kind of didn't really get the attention that perhaps it deserved.
Well, it won the BAFTA.
Yeah.
But in one of those ones, where it won the BAFTA in one of those years, and everyone went, what did?
Yeah.
And then, but I'm very proud of it. It's a great bit of writing, it really.
Was it fun to shoot? Is it more fun doing something which is period? I know you have to do with costumes, but doing something like Casanova, for example, where it's kind of removed from the present day, I get the feeling would be more entertaining to be.
It just depends on the script, really. Yeah. A good script is good fun to do.
Okay. And this isn't by that idiot Russell Davies. This is a
no,
one, yeah.
No.
Thank Christ. He knows nothing. Knows nothing about humankind. So tonight, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
On BBC One. Is it on before or after Nancy's? Before.
I think they are split tonight because it's their final, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the big one tonight.
I think they're on before and after us.
Okay, you're sandwiched by the Nancy's.
Sandwiched by John Barrowman.
John Barrowman, Graham Norton, and some other Nancy's.
Yes.
And then, yeah. And then we've got Who. And the Who is going to be, I think, a good one because it's written by the person who's taken over from Russell T Davies.
That's
as
right.
The big script editor, Stephen Moffat.
Yes, indeed.
And they're, I think, some of my favourite episodes of all the Who's. The one with the Don't Blink was one of his, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was indeed, yes.
Which was a cracker. Yeah, that was a two-part as well, wasn't it?
No, that was just one.
Okay, felt long. and he's, of course, done this now. I'm really looking forward to this one.
It's a cracker.
Now, it's set in a library in the future?
The entire planet is a library.
Right.
It's got every copy of every book ever written.
On every planet, I guess, is it? Is that right?
Yeah. Every book from any time, any place. This whole planet has been hollowed out and made into a library.
Lovely idea. And inside the library?
Well, for some reason, the library's all shut down and there's nobody there. And all that we discover when we arrive is a talking statue which tells us to count the shadows.
Wow. Count the shadows.
Mm. But then Alex Kingston turns up.
Oh, well, that's okay.
And Steve Pemberton turns up.
But Alex Kingston not playing the role she played before. She was the head of Torchwood, wasn't she?
That was Tracy Ann Oberman.
Oh, is it? Why am I getting them confused?
They look quite similar.
They've got a similar look, I suppose. Yeah.
They both got curly hair. Bosomy. Yeah.
Bosomy.
Two great reasons to watch a wedding. I'm sorry, I thought it was. I seen the photograph and I thought it was her. So she turns up and things, no doubt.
She turns up and clearly she's met the Doctor before. But the Doctor doesn't seem to have met her.
Oh, I think I know where this is going.
Do you?
Someone told me.
Yeah, okay.
I wish people who worked on Who wouldn't tell me stuff in advance. They
right.
Do. Maybe I shouldn't ask them. But they do. And how many more in this series are there? This is a two-parter.
This is episode 8, so that means there's 6 left. There's 13 episodes.
Well, that's a long run then. You're really a big old run.
We always do 13, yeah. Oh, but I have to say, from this week to the end, they are absolute crackers.
Yeah, because they've been really so good, have they, up till now. But from this week to the end, is what, no, there have been some great ones.
Yeah.
And Catherine Tate, I'm loving seeing you and Catherine Tate working together. It's really...
Yeah, she's just so great.
Does she come on at the end of this series, or can we not say that? Do you know what's going on?
Catherine has got a big old story to tell between now and the end.
Can't wait. Yeah, Does it involve Bernard Cribbins?
It involves a lot of Bernard Cribbins.
Yeah, he was on the show, and I said to him, you've played a lot of taxi drivers over here. He said, I played one. He seemed quite cross with me. But for some reason, I thought I'd seen him in a cab a lot.
Yeah, there's something about him. He just kind of exudes a kind of warmth, doesn't he?
Did you work with him years ago?
No, I'd never met him before.
For some reason, I had the feeling that you'd worked with him years ago.
No.
In a cab. No? No, I'm confused. All right, well, obviously, we love seeing you in The Who, and then you've got specials coming up after this, I guess. I mean, that's what Russell T. Davies is writing.
Four specials, I think. We've got a Christmas one for this year that we've already done.
Right. Who's in, any guest stars in this one?
David Morrissey.
Oh, excellent.
Dervla Kerwin.
Now, you worked with David on Blackpool.
I did indeed, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And Dervla, that'd be good. And do we know any familiar creatures coming back? Or?
Am I allowed to? Yeah, I think everyone knows that the Cybermen are back for Christmas.
Yeah, but listen, proper Cybermen or these modern ones with the flares?
Now, stop it with the flares.
I don't like the flares.
They don't have flares.
I saw
because after you said this, I was then filming with them again. I had a really good look. They're
Did
not
you measure
flares.
Them? Are they bigger than a... Look, here's the thing. The bottom of your trousers, if it's bigger than like 17 inches, that's a flare.
It wasn't... Well, I didn't measure it, but it certainly wasn't bigger than 17 inches, whatever that means.
If you can't go to the trouble of measuring it, then I suggest you keep your opinion to yourself.
I judged it with my eye.
Is it wider than it is just below the knee?
No, it's not like that.
I think
that.
You'll find it is.
It's not.
It's like a boot flare. It's like
it's
a cowboy flare.
But then they're big old feet.
I know they've got big old feet. It's not the point. Look, in the old days, Sidemen, they were really scary because they just looked really weird. Now they look like toys.
Stop it.
It's true.
I won't have this.
I know you won't have it. I know you're the keeper of the faith, but listen to the voice of reason. Listen to the public.
Have
you filmed it yet?
It's done.
Yeah, he's done it.
Oh,
yeah.
Flared Sidemen. I'm hoping the director shot them mainly from the waist up. like Elvis on the Ed Sullivan special. Well, anyway, I will enjoy it, I'm sure.
You will enjoy it. Yes. It's a cracker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wish they didn't have flare trousers.
They don't have flare trousers. Just get over it. Get over yourself.
On the way out, when you meet and greet your Whovians on the way out, just ask them for a show of hands. Are they wearing flares or not?
I think they're all keepers of the faith, don't you? I don't think there'll be any dissenting voices.
All right. Well, look, I'm loving the series. You know that. Of course, I'm sure you know that. And it's doing great business for the BBC, deservedly so. I'm so looking forward to the one tonight and next week. They're going to be crackers, I think.
They are.
Really looking forward to those. And I'm looking forward to finally sitting down and watching Taking Over the Asylum, which I, you know, not being, wishing to be dismissive or rude, I hadn't heard of before. I know it won the BAFTA.
I don't think it got the credit it deserved. I'm not saying that because I'm in it.
No.
But, I'm really chuffed that they've released it.
I suppose when people saw it in the listings way back when it said a DJ goes to a Scottish mental asylum, a few people thought, I might catch up with that later. And now would be the perfect time.
Yeah, now is the perfect time. Okay. Yeah. No, it was, but it went on and won all sorts of awards and was.
Look at that young face.
Look at him.
It's a good looking young boy. David, lovely to see you again. Have a terrific weekend and good luck with Stratford. I know that's a big commitment for the rest of the year.
It's just a play. It's just a play.
To be or not to be. That. One of the questions.
Listen, that understudy slot is still available. That's
a perfectly valid interpretation.
It is a perfectly valid interpretation.
To be or not to be? That's one for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Any more? You could do it in your Scottish accent.
To be or not to be? That's
what was that?
That's Scottish via Judaism. Oi, to be or not to be? Come on, throw in a different voice every night.
I will. Okay. I will, just for you. Spot the accent on that line.
David, lovely to have you here. Have a great weekend ahead. I know you're going to be working. And good luck with Stratford. I shall come down to see at least one of them, if I may.
I mean, please do.
Okay.
I'm
we'll come up with it, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you come up to Stratford.
Yeah, I shall look forward to it. Good luck with it. Good luck with the play. Good luck with the series. Good luck with the DVD release of Taken Over Your Son.
Thank you very much. That was comprehensive.
More or less. David Tennant has left the building, ladies and gentlemen.